This is the Just Live podcast with Dan and Susie Potter, episode 71.
Are you going up?
In this episode, we're going to look at Nehemiah's story and our story and our emotions.
We begin in 22 seconds.
Live life. See the good days in it. Just live.
Your life is a remarkable story, an adventure that only you can create.
We exist to motivate and equip you to live fully alive.
Welcome to Going Up, My Nehemiah Story. This is week number one, content number one. We're so glad that you've joined us for this particular course.
So it's a bit of a Bible study and a bit of a you story. And we'll get there in a little bit. But it's time
going
to
up,
go
my
up.
Nehemiah story. So we begin at the bottom. And the two illustrations that we see that we'd like you to process, either just out loud or think about it, write down in your journal, is going up maybe from an elevator or going up a mountain. And it's story time.
Yeah, I think some of the greatest elevators I ever was in Hong Kong. Because they're like glass elevators on the outside of a building, and you're going up and you see this incredible landscape. So you start off on ground floor, but then the farther up you go, the more you actually see.
What's the highest you've gone up in an elevator?
I think it's 92 floors. I'm trying to remember for sure, but I think 92 floors.
That's great. All right, and when I think about a mountain, I think of this past July. I went up a mountain with my daughter-in-law, Laura, and her women's group from church. And it was an amazing time. First time ever to backpack up a mountain, which means I was carrying 40 pounds. I don't know how many kilos that is. It's 2.2 pounds in a kilo, right?
It's a lot.
2.2 kilos in a pound.
It's a
Anyways,
lot.
Lots. We had to carry everything with us, our tent, our food, our water,
sleeping
anything
bag.
We might need, sleeping, snacks, everything. We had to carry it up. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do it, but it was an 11 hour hike up. We had an amazing night outside under the stars, like no light pollution. Gorgeous. And then we hiked down again. And it was such an accomplishment. It was such camaraderie between the girls and I, and we were all encouraging each other. We started at the bottom. We went up towards the destination. Then we came back down again.
So right now it's the beginning of 2024, and we're beginning at ground level, moving up. And we want to be looking at how is it that we are going to be moving up in this year. So we're going to take a look at Nehemiah.
Yep.
We're just going to look at the first few verses this week. And I'm going to interrupt Susie as we go through this, because
sure.
There are some things about the story in Nehemiah that we need to know as we begin to look at us and what we need to know about us.
Okay, so Nehemiah chapter 1, we'll go through the first four verses. The words of Nehemiah.
Now, let me just tell you who Nehemiah is. Nehemiah is a slave. He's in a good position. He works for the king. He takes wine to the king. Probably always has lived in the citadel of Susa. Probably grew up there. And he is about 142 years after the exile to Babylon after Daniel. So there's quite a space there where his people have been almost annihilated.
Okay, Nehemiah, son of... Okay, there's some big words here. Let me just give it a go. Hakaliah.
Perfect.
In the month of Kislev.
Which is December.
In the 20th year.
The year actually is somewhere between 445 and 422 BC, before Christ. So at 400... We don't hear anything from God really for 400 years. So this
up
is
up to Jesus,
this is,
right?
Yeah,
this
up
is,
to up to Jesus.
This is the last story.
This is it's not the last story, but we're coming right to the end where there's a silence time.
Okay. Well, I was in the citadel of Susa.
Now that's actually in Iran today.
Okay, Hanani, one of my brothers.
Now, probably not his real brother, probably someone from his tribe who was in the city. And just met him. It doesn't look like he was a brother looking for Nehemiah. It was a connection that was made.
So they weren't actually, they would have spoken the same language, mm-hmm. maybe same dialect, mm-hmm. and that caught his attention, yeah. right?
Because there's a good chance that with the king, Nehemiah spoke the Babylonian language. So he would have heard Hebrew being spoke and whoop, zoned into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hannah and I, one of my brothers, came from Judah with now, some Judah, other men.
Get this, from Susa to Judah, about 900 miles, the journey would have taken somewhere around 4.5 months. So people aren't going there. If you went there
to
and
walk
came back,
it, that's all
you
they
got
had.
About 10 months of just travel.
That's a and big
And so
commitment.
People didn't move that. Most likely Nehemiah has never been to Judah or Jerusalem.
So Hannah and I came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them.
Now get that. It's not that these men are coming with some kind of report to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is questioning them. He's curious about something. He meets them and begins to ask questions.
And he asked them questions about the Jewish remnant.
Now the remnant are those who are, after the exile, there were some people still living, and some people did not come to Babylon. They stayed there. They were called the remnant. They were like the leftovers.
Mm-hmm. They were the ones that had survived the exile.
The exile was when the Babylonians tore down Jerusalem. They crushed the walls. They burnt the area. They just destroyed the city and took all the people like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, took them all to Babylonia.
Yep. And also about Jerusalem.
Now, Jerusalem is a city, but it's also their identity. So keep that in mind that he's talking
home,
about not just
homeland,
his city,
yeah.
but yeah. home.
Their place. They said to me, those who survived the exile.
Now get this, it's not thriving, it's they survived.
They just made it by the skin of their teeth.
Oh, skin on the teeth.
Yeah. How's that, right? Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace.
And just understand, that is an inside feeling. I'm in great trouble. It's emotion. It's nervousness. It's fear and disgrace and shame. So those are some of the feelings that they have.
Yep. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.
So get this: if the walls are down, there's no protection. There's no safety. If someone wants to come into the temple and take things, they're free to do that because there is no protection. There's nothing that makes them a city or a community.
So we've got the internal and the external
problems.
Condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept.
Now, understand from this that this probably wasn't Nehemiah's everyday problem because it says later you'll see that every day before the king and queen, he was happy. He had joy.
Yeah.
But something happened as a result of these questions that changed everything. And it brought him to a very deep point emotionally.
Yeah. So this is where we come to the emotions. I'd love for you to consider. Here's the emotions wheel. It's one of the tools that we like to use. We've been using it a lot in our own personal mm-hmm. grief, our own personal identification of emotions. But we wondered if we would use this on Nehemiah. So I'm just going to ask you questions. Help us out. So how do you use this tool to just guess? We don't know, but mm-hmm. you well, can guess this, how what mm-hmm. what might be some of the emotions besides that would make him weep?
Yeah, I think sometimes all we know is like the center seven.
Okay.
But there are other levels. And so I'm putting myself in his shoes. He's a Jew. His identity is in Jewishness. His religion is Jewishness. Religion has to do with the temple in Jerusalem. It's in disgrace. One of the words up there as an emotion is embarrassed.
Could be embarrassed.
He knows the history. And it's shocking.
He could feel shame.
It's not fair. It's shame.
Yeah, he could feel shame.
It's remorse.
Discouragement.
It's discouragement.
Sadness.
Mm-hmm.
He maybe could feel isolated because he's the only one who's weeping.
Yeah. And maybe there's blame that he's feeling to yeah. blame somebody. It's been 142 years and no one's done anything. Now, 12 years earlier, Ezra came and he helped rebuild the temple and get people into homes and things like that. And they were to go on and build walls and they never did. And so there is this pain He wept.
Yeah. So I think we've done it. We've kind of got into what we identifying with Nehemiah in this story. This is helpful.
Yeah. I think vulnerable. I think there are a lot of words around there that he actually could have felt in the midst of hearing this story, realizing these are my people and something is not right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the Nehemiah story, the thing that hits me a lot, and you just said it as well, for 142 years, is it? Things were as they were. And everybody got used to it being like that. And that, like, when you don't hear news about something, you hear a crisis and you get all up in arms about violence or death of, or somebody saying this or doing this. And then after a while, it goes back to same-o, normal. And it had been like that for 142 years. And then all of a sudden, because God was at work within Nehemiah, something pricked his heart. And he got curious and he was checking into these things and he had all of these emotions.
So that's the Nehemiah story, but now let's turn it around to be our story. I'm going to talk about the Nehemiah and you talk about the our story.
Sure.
As we go
so
through.
The Nehemiah is in the black lettering and the our story to consider to think about is in the red.
So the story talks about Nehemiah.
And what about you?
The story talks about Kislev, the December.
And it's for us, it's now. Like, at the time of this recording, it's the beginning of 2024. So what's going on right here and now, right where I'm at in this year?
So in the Bible, it mentions the year. Susie mentioned the year. It said Susa.
Where are you right now? Currently, we're in Seattle. So it's the city that you're at. It could also be the state or, you know, the condition that you're in, right?
Hanai, your brother.
Your tribe. Who are your people? Dan is my person. We have our family. We have our friends. Who are your people that know you and get you?
Judah.
Judah is your home. Where do you call home? It might be your home, like your location where you sleep at night. It also may be those safe people, those safe places that is your home.
I questioned.
This is all about curiosity. What are you asking questions about? God has put a certain thing in you and a way of seeing the world. When you get curious about something, that's a good thing. That's what Nehemiah did. It's important for us to get curious as well. We'll talk about that in future weeks, won't we?
Remnant.
What's left? What's left of the people, of the situation in your world?
Exile.
This is homelessness. You're not feeling comfortable. You're not feeling safe. You're not feeling at peace.
I don't belong.
Is that situation when you don't belong? Yeah.
Yeah, Jerusalem.
That's your identity. That's your homeland. That's your parents, your family of origin. That might be your identity because of your job or the people that you hang out with, knowing who you are. That's what Jerusalem meant for them.
Survived.
It's your mindset. You know, are you in a survival mindset? Are you in a thriving mindset, somewhere in between? What's going on?
Great trouble, disgrace.
What's going on inside of you? We're going to explore that in a second.
Wall broken down.
What's going on outside of you that's having an impact on you?
Gates burned.
What's your safety like? What's your security like?
Wept.
Emotions.
So we would like you to do the same thing as we begin 2024, is to really take an inventory of you and
your current emotions.
Yeah.
Right. So in this season, it might be today. It might be this week as you're coming into the new year or you're just watching this right now. What would be some of the top three emotions, at least three? You might have more than that. Emotions that you're experiencing right now. What would be some of the ones for you?
Overwhelmed, hopeful, powerless, powerful, curious, interested, worried, anxious, a little bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. I have some that are like, I'm excited, I'm hopeful, it's a new year, I know that God's going to do some amazing things. I know it's going to be hard, so do hard things, so I'm gearing up for what's coming and... Also, I am just really expectant and ready to be resilient with whatever God brings my way.
So, Those are emotions. There's all these things you can actually look at. But what I want you to do in this first week is just focus on your emotions. Where are you emotionally right now? We saw where Nehemiah was. We saw his story. And as we are at ground level, ready to push the button to go up, or ready to take those first steps up the mountain, we first of all have to take a little bit of inventory. Where are we emotionally?
Yeah, so thank you for going up with us, for looking at Nehemiah's story and comparing it to your story and learning with and from him. We're going to continue to do this in the coming weeks in this current theme of going up.
So may you live fully alive as you love your life, your world, and your God. My name's Dan.
My name is Susie.
Together we are doozy. Live fully.
And love fully. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye.
Going up.